Begin the current daf Masechtas Baba Kama daf Yadalet. Begin 6 lines down from the top of the Yomer, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. That is, the Gemara had quoted the words of our Mishnah that said Rishus HaNizik VaHamazik, and regarding a property that's shared by the Nizik and by the Mazik, by the damaged party and by the damaging party. There was a machlekes in the Gemara regarding what does those words in the Mishnah mean. There was the opinion of Rav Chizda that he held that actually a Chatzar HaShutfin that's shared by the Nizik and the Mazik, one is liable for Shein and Regel, because he reads the Mishnah as follows. The previous words in the Mishnah was that although generally the Mazik is going to be liable for damages, but Chutz Mirshus HaMechedes LaMazik, except if it's a property that was only owned by the Mazik, where he's going to be exempt, as the Gemara had said, because Turcha Mirshusi, my boy, what's your ox doing in my property? I'm not responsible for your damages. You shouldn't have come into my property. That is where you're going to be Potter. Then the next was Rishus HaNizik VaMazik, and then the property that's shared by the Nizik and the Mazik, that's where the Mishnah's next words continue to say, Kisha Hizik HaVaMazik, that when there is damages, then he's going to be liable. And the reason for this is because the way Rav Chizda interprets the Mishnah is that Shein and Regel is not considered like Rishus HaRabim, which is where Shein and Regel, although it's shared by the Nizik and the Mazik, it's not owned by one person, it's not like Rishus HaRabim, it would still be considered Ubir B'stei Acher, it's still a privately owned property, and thus, the Mazik would be Chayv in such a case, even though it's shared with him and the Nizik. But Rabbi Elazar says actually that no, one is exempt on Shein and Regel in a Rishus HaMichah, in a property of Chutz HaShutfin, that's shared between the two of them, and therefore he reads the Mishnah as follows. Chutz Mirshus HaMechedes LaMazik, if it's owned by the Mazik itself, you're going to be Potter. And Rishus HaNizik VaMazik, they're also you're going to be Potter. Now the reason for this is because you, by Shein and Regel to be Chayiv, you need it to be Ubir B'stei Acher, has to be in that other person's field. Here it's not in that other person's field because it's not owned just by the Nizik, it's shared by him and the Mazik, and therefore actually he compares it to Rishus HaRabim, and therefore you're going to be exempt in such a case as Shein and Regel is exempt in Rishus HaRabim. And then the next words, Kisha Hizik HaVaMazik, there the Gemara explains what that is coming to explain, both according to Rav and according to Shmuel. That's why our Gemara continues and asks Eni. The Gemara asks on Rabbi Elazar's opinion, who, as we just explained, he holds that by Chutz HaShutfin, by a property that's owned together by two people, which one of them damages the other, so it's the Mazik and the Nizik that share a property. So Rabbi Elazar said that it's going to be exempt by Shein and Regel. He considers it, he compares it to Rishus HaRabim, therefore it's going to be exempt. It's not Uvir B'stei Acher, similar to the halacha of when it's Mishus HaMechedes LaMazik, where you're exempt too. So now the Gemara asks, is that really so? But Vatani Rav Yosef, told in the Braisa, seemingly contradicts the way Rabbi Elazar is interpreting the halacha of our Mishnah. Rav Yosef's Braisa says, Chutz HaShutfin VaPundik, regarding a shared property, or Pundik, which is a large house where some type of a hotel where people and guests come and they spend the night there. So the Braisa there says that if one of the members of the hotel has his damaging someone else's things, Chayiv Behen Ala Shein VaAla Regel, that there's going to be liability. For let's say if one guest's animal eats the produce of another one, or steps on the produce of someone else, that there's going to be liability because it's not like Rishus HaRabim. Why isn't it like Rishus HaRabim? Because since it's not designated for anyone in the public who wants to be there, rather it's distinct for the people that are guests, that are living over there, so that's considered Uvir B'stei Acher in someone else's field, because it's only through renting that the people are there, so it's in a sense like each one who's renting owns that part, so this is my property. It's not for everybody. Yeah, it's shared by many people, so therefore that's similar to the case of Chutz HaShutfin, that they each have a share in this property, so it's not owned by one, but it's not everybody. And it says that you're going to be chayiv, so to yuf, to Rabbi Elazar. That refutes Rabbi Elazar's interpretation of the halacha of our Mishnah, that he said that by a Chutz HaShutfin, that it's going to be potter, that he doesn't consider it uviyah v'stei acher, and here we see clearly in the Braisa that it does consider it. So Amalach Rabbi Elazar would tell you, v'tizbara? Do you think it's logical to refute me from this Braisa? Masniyasa mile pligi? Isn't it a machlekes tanoim that... Don't you think I can find a braisa that says like me? But Vatanya, we learned the braisa which I'll prove to you my interpretation from the following braisa. The braisa says, Arba klalis hayir b'shimon ben Elazar o'im ben Nizakin. B'shimon Elazar would say 4 general overarching categories regarding the halachas of damages. First of all, kol shu rishus le nizik v'le le mazik. If it's a property distinct only for the nizik and not for the mazik, meaning the damaged parties, it's his property and someone else's ox came and damaged him. So chayiv b'kol. So then there's liability for everything, which Gemara later on is going to explain from the terminology of being chayiv b'kol, is to tell you that even keren tam, which are the first few times of an ox goring, which generally it's chatzi nezik, here it's going to be nezik shalom. And the reason why here it's different is because since he went into the property of the nizik and caused damage, so then unlike regular keren tam and rishos haram, this chatzi nezik, here it's going to be chayiv b'kol and all the damages, meaning even nezik shalom by keren tam. So that's when it's in rishos, it's only the nizik's rishos. The mazik v'loy l'nizik, let's say it's the mazik's property, where the damaged person, he brought his stuff into the mazik's property, so potem mikol. So then the mazik is exempt from everything because he tells him, turcha b'rishos in my boy, why is your ox doing in my property? He said, he got hurt, you shouldn't have came into my property, it's not my responsibility, he's exempt from everything. Third category was lezeh ulezeh. Let's say it's a property shared by both. Let's say where it's a property that's owned by both or an open fields. So then, then there's going to be exemption from the hezek of shein and brekel. And the reason being is because you don't call it uvir biste acher. Because the way Reb Shimon ben Elaz is learning it is uvir biste acher, you qualify that by when it's that acher is singular, it's only his field, where it's only distinct for the nizik. But here where it's shared by two people, then you're going to be potter. But al negicha, but for goring with horns, val negifa or pushing with the body, val neshicha with biting with intention to break something, to harm it, val revitza and regarding laying down, val beita regarding kicking, these are the different types of teilodis derivatives of the hezek of keren, where although it's not being done with the horns, but the intention is kavanas lahazik to cause damage, that the ox is doing this. So then tam mishal and chatzi nezik. So then if it's the first few times, then it pays, the owner pays half the damages. Because it's like Rishus Rabim, as we described, that's the reason why you're exempt by Shein and Regel in this Chatzah Shutfin. So too, by Keren, where although we said that when it's in the Rishus Nezik, you'll be Keren Tam will be Chayiv Nezik Shalom. But here, since it's like Rishus Rabim, because they both have permission to go there, so Keren Tam the first few times is Chatzin Nezik, Amud Misham Nezik Shalom. But if it was already became Amud, already did a few times, then it would be Chayiv, the owner, to pay the full amount of the damages. The fourth category, so we had one that it's only the Nizik's property, we had one that it's only the Mazik's property, the third one we had that it's shared by both. Then the fourth one is that it's loy lezeh v'loy lezeh, that it's actually neither one of theirs. But actually the Gemara later on is going to explain that, yeah, it's not both of them, but it's not that neither one of them, it's actually one of theirs, meaning to say it's the reshus of the Nizik. Kagain, for example, chatzah sheinah shel shneim, let's say it's not both of theirs, which again the Gemara later on is going to explain because it's one of theirs. Then chayiv boy ala shein v'ala regel. Then there's going to be liability for shein and regel, which would be nezik shalom, as it always is ubir b'stei achor, when you're going to the reshus and nezik. Now al negicha, val neshicha, val negifa, val revitza, val beita, we're going to these five types of keren. So tam isham chatzi nezik. So then by tam, the first few times he pays chatzi nezik, which the Gemara later on is going to ask, you already taught in the first part of the brisa that by chatzar hanizik, even keren tam pays nezik shalom. So if, as the Gemara will explain, that this case of loy lezeh but loy lezeh, it's not that neither one of theirs, because then actually, shein regel, you wouldn't be chayiv, it has to be a bir b'stei achar. So rather, it's talking about that it's one of theirs, meaning the nizik's, so then why by tam are you paying chatzi nezik? So the Gemara will address that. Amud misham nezik shalom, and if he already did it a few times, then it pays nezik shalom. So those are the four general rules. Now, Rabbi Lazar concludes his proof. K'tani miyas, one thing we see from Rabbi Lazar is that he says, chatza hashutfin v'habika. Regarding the third klal that he says, regarding a sheared yard and open fields, that he said, Pater bala shein vala regal, that you're going to be exempt for shein and regal, that's like Rebbe Lasser, who he says that bechasa shutfin, that you are pater, that it's not like uvir v'steachar, that it is considered like Urshat Sarabim, because it's not distinct only for the nizik. So therefore, says Rebbe Lasser, you're asking me from the brice of Yosef, I'll show you a brice that says like me. So the Gemara says, Akasha Dadi. But then we have a contradiction in these two brises, where Reb Shimon Lazar sounds like Reb Lazar, and Reb Yosef's brise sounds not like Reb Lazar. So the Gemara answers, Kitan Yahi. When did we say the brise of Reb Shimon Lazar that says that you're going to be exempt by Shein and Rekel? That's Bechatzim Yuchedes Lazeh Ulazeh. When we say that it's a shared property, shared for what? And that, as we'll see, the Gemara will qualify that to define if there's going to be a Chiv in Shein and Rekel or not. So in the case of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, which was like Rabbi Elazar, that's by a courtyard that's shared by both, bein l'peiros, bein l'shvarim, both for their produce and for their oxen. In other words, it's a chasah shutfin both for the halachas of shein, which is regarding produce, because they're both allowed to have their produce there, and regarding Karen, because they're both allowed to have their oxen over there. So that's why, by Shane, you're going to be Pater, because it's like a Rosh Hashanah. We said it's not distinct for one person, it's not B'stei Acher, it's not in that other person's field, it's my field too. We share the field. So that's Rosh Hashanah, according to Rebbe Laza. Therefore, by Shane, you're going to be exempt. Now, Karen Tam, it's Chatzi Nezik in Rosh Hashanah, therefore you're going to pay Chatzi Nezik. Now, Hahid Rav Yosef, however, the Brisa of Rav Yosef that said that by a reshus that's sheared by the mazik and the nizik, that you're going to be chayv by shein regel, is because it's told by bichatzim yuchedis lepeiros. It's only that they shear the rights for each one of them to have their produce in this field, but ve'enim yuchedis l'shvarim, it's not designated for them to be able to be bring in their oxen over there. So therefore explains the Gemara, the legabe shein havi lo chatzar hanizik. Regarding the hezik of Shein, it's like the chatzah of the nizik. Why? Because the mazik, what are you doing bringing in your ox over here? It's not like Rishus Arabim. Rishus Arabim, the reason why you're exempt by Shein and Regel is because you have the right to have your oxen walking in the street. And therefore, the Torah is not going to make you liable. When he goes into someone else's field, a beer b'stei acher, what's he doing in his property? You're going to be liable for your ox eating. That's something you should have been careful about. But in the street where your oxen is allowed to be there, then tell the guy that produced it to watch his stuff. It's very normal for my ox, which is allowed to be in the Rishus Rabbim, to eat. So therefore, in this case, although you share the property with that guy, it's only for your produce, not for your ox. And your oxen should not be there. And if you did bring it there, it's your responsibility. So it is like chatzar nizik. And so therefore, that's why, although it's a chatzar ha-shutfin, by the case of Yosef, you're going to be chayiv, because it's only shutfin for their produce, but it's not for their oxen. And the Gemara actually says, dekenami. A precise reading of the two brises indicate this answer, the resolution that the Gemara is giving for Rebbe Lazar. Diktani hacha dumi depundik. Here we have, in this brisa, we have the comparison by both brises. It talks about chatzar ha-shutfin. But then it adds on another case with that. Rav Yosef, when he mentions the case of Chatzar Shutfin, that he says Yechayev, he says Chatzar Shutfin va pundik. Now, a pundik, a motel, a hotel, is not made for oxen. Because all the merchants and all the people staying over there leave their merchandise and all the things there in the hotel, and therefore they don't let oxen coming over there so that they shouldn't step on it and ruin all the merchandise of all the merchants. So therefore, there you see that the case of what's the chatzar shutfin that they're talking about, that they share the rights to come into the hotel to bring in their peiros, to bring in their kalim, but not to bring in their shvarim. You're not allowed to bring in your shar. Therefore, regarding the hezek of shein, it's like chatzar hanizik, and therefore it is like bir b'stei acher, and therefore you're going to be chayiv because in regards to you bringing your ox, you have no rights. But by the price of Shimon the Lazar, the two cases that he brings when he says you're going to be potter on the chatzar shutfin by shein and regel, he says chatzar shutfin vehabika. Now, generally, an open field, a valley, is a place where the shepherds bring the oxen there to go out to pasture. Shemami knows, you can infer that's why over there there's going to be a ptur, you're going to be exempt. Why are you going to be exempt? Because it's a chatzar shutfin even for the shar. So that's like Rosh Hashanah, where your shar is allowed to be. Therefore, you're going to be exempt on shein and regel. That's why it's no difficulty on Rebbe Lazar. Now, Maskev le Reb Zeira asks on this answer of the Gemara, Kivin miyuchedes leperes, but once you're saying that it's designated for both of them at least to be able to bring their produce, although you're saying that you're to explain the case of Rav Yosef, that he's not allowed to bring his shayr over there, and that's why he said he's going to be chayiv, but they do share the property at least in the hotel and that the chatzar shutfin to be able to bring in their peres. So the problem is, to be mechayv and shein regel, you need the pasuk says, ubir b'stei acher, that his animal went and ate up the other person's produce in that other person's field, v'leka, and you don't have that over here, because here the mazik has rights to be over there, to at least bring in his peiros, so it's not stei acher. It's a sada of both of them, so why are you going to be chayv? Why isn't it, like Rosh Hashanah, to be exempt, even in the way you're describing the case of Rav Yosef? So Amalei Abaye answered to Reb Zeira, no. Because since it's not designated for the mazik to be able to bring in his shar, So regarding the halacha of shame, we do consider it as ubir b'ste achar, because at least in regards to his shor, it came in without permission, because his oxen are not allowed to be there. So regarding the, as the pasuk there is talking about, v'shilach as be'iroi, regarding sending his animal, in regards to his animal, it is like ubir b'ste achar, because although it's not only his field, it's my field too, the mazik, my produce is allowed to be there too, but not the oxen. Regarding the oxen, it is like someone else's field, and that's why by the case of Rabbi Yisrael, even Rabbi Elazar would agree that there's going to be chiv on Shein and Regal. Now, Amali Rav Acha Mediftil Ravina, he asks, Lema, let us say, from the fact that we just proved that the prices are not disagreeing, although seemingly they were disagreeing, one says Chatzah Shutfin Yechayv and Shein and Regal, one says Chatzah Shutfin Yepata and Shein and Regal. So we answered, no, they're not disagreeing. One is talking about that they have rights for both Peretz and Shvarim. So that's like Rosh Hashanah, because of the oxen is allowed to be there, and therefore he's exempt in Shein Regal. That's Rosh Hashanah. Whereas Rabbi Yisrael is talking about that the only Chazal Shvarim regarding Peretz, but regarding Shvarim it wasn't, and therefore it's like Rosh Hashanah Nizik, and that's why he's going to be Chayv. So says Rav Acha Medifted to Ravina, so Amira Nami Loi Pligi. So let's say that the Amiram of the previous staff are also not disagreeing. This that Rav Chizda said that you're going to be chayiv by chatzat shutfin and shein v'regel is talking about when it's only chatzat shutfin in their peres, but it's not designated for them to be able to bring in their shvarim, and therefore it's like the rishus hanizik. Whereas Rav Elazar, who we were quoting, that says that you're going to be potter is because it's a chatzat shutfin both by their peres and on their shvarim, and therefore it's like rishus haram, and that's why you potter. So Amalei's Ravina answered in, yes, you're right. Then you don't have to say they're disagreeing. You could say that they're just talking about different cases, like we explained the brises. And imtim salem pligin, even if you want to say that they're disagreeing, bekusha de rebzeyu ubeperuka da abaye pligi, you could say that they're disagreeing regarding what we just quoted from the question of rebzeyu and the answer of abaye, which was when you have a chatzar that's miuchedes for peiris, that they're allowed to both put in their peiris, but not to bring in their shvarim. Rav Chizda, who said that you're going to be chayiv, held like abaye. Because since it's not designated for Shvarim, so in regards to that aspect, we consider it steacher, someone else's field, and therefore to be chayv on Shein v'regel. Whereas Rabbi Elazar held like Rabbi Zeira, and that is because he held that since that there is permission for the mazik to use this field, it's his field also, at least regarding Paris, so then even though regarding his shire, it's not allowed to, but therefore you can't qualify it anymore as a beer b'steacher, and that's why he held that you're going to be exempt in the halacha of Shein v'regel in the chatzar hashutfin. Now the Gemara goes back to explain something that we quoted before, Gufo. We had quoted this Braisa, which Rav Elazar was quoting to bring proof that there is a Tanoic opinion that says like him, that there is a Ptur in Shein v'regel in the Chatzat Shutfin. So now the Gemara goes back to explain the Braisa in detail. It said, Arba klalis hayir b'shem ben Elazar ayim ben Nezakin. Shem ben Elazar said four general categories regarding the halachas of damages. First one is kolshu rishus lenizik v'lo lamazik. Whatever is only the property of the damaged party, and the mazik has no rights to be there. Chayv b'kol. So the mazik is chayv in everything. So the Gemara makes a diik. Al hakol lo katani. It doesn't say that he's chayv on everything, which that would sound like for whatever type of mazik it is, he'd be liable. Meaning for Shein and for Regel and for Karen, it doesn't say that. El chayv b'kol. But rather, the liability is in everything. Meaning we know you're chayv. But how much are you chayiv? You're chayiv for everything, which that sounds like, that even regarding Karen, even though it's a time, it's your first few times that the ox is goring, it's coming to say that the liability is going to be bekulei nezik, in all the damages, meaning you're chayiv in everything that was damaged, and not just, let's say, chatzi nezik. So says the Gemara, Mani, who's the town of this price? So who does Reb Shimon Loza have to be going like? Reb Tarfini, it's going like Reb Tarfin. Dharma that he says later on in Perek Ketzad, Chavdala Mabez, that he says, Meshuna Karen, which Rashi explains that Karen Tam and all the derivatives of Karen are called Meshuna. It's not normal. The reason being is because since the animal changed its nature, because it's not normal for an ox to just go out goring, at least the first few times that it ever does that, so therefore it's called Meshuna. Karen, which is an ox goring with its horns, is not normal. So that mazik of Karen, Reb Tarfin says, "B'chatzar nizik, although it's tam, it's not normal. Meaning, it's still not normal when it does it a bunch of times, and it's normal for it, and it's not mishuna. But the first three times when it's karen tam, b'chatzar nizik, if it's damaging, even let's say the first time in the domain of the nizik, nizik shalom mishalom. So you have to pay the full amount of damage. That's Reb Tarfin's opinion. That's what Reb Shimon ben Elazar is coming to explain when he says that when it's the rishus of the nizik, you chayv b'kol, even by karen tam." So the Gemara asks, how would they aim a seifa? But look at the end of the brisa. The Braisa says in the last case, when it's loylazeh b'loylazeh, when it's a field not of theirs and of theirs, meaning it's not the mazik and the nizik, like when it's a courtyard not of both of them, then chayv ba'al shein v'al regel, then there's going to be liability for shein and regel. Again, in contrast to when it is both of theirs, which we said Reb Shimon Elazar says, you're going to be potter on shein v'regel. Now the Gemara asks, my loylazeh b'loylazeh, what is this fourth case that Reb Shimon Elazar talks about when he says it's not the field of the mazik and the nizik? If you say that as literally one would translate it, that, and that's how it would sound like. He said about a case when it's the Nizik, he said a case that it's the Mazik, he said a case when it's both of theirs, and then the last case would sound like when it's neither one of theirs. But if you say that, meaning that it's neither one of theirs, el da'acher, rather it's actually someone else's field, who's not the Nizik or the Mazik, and on that, Reb Shimon Elazar is saying that you're going to be chayv and shein v'regel, but the problem with that is, how can you say that? But you need to have for the chiyuv of shein and regel that then the animal goes and eats in that other person's field. Well, luckily you don't have that because he's not eating in his field. He's eating in someone else's field. That steacher has to mean the nizik, that he ate in that person's field. And if it's someone else's field, you don't have a bir steacher. So El Peshitta rather says the Gemara, obviously, when it says loylazeh b'loylazeh, meaning it's saying that it's not both of theirs, el dechad, but rather it's only one of theirs, meaning the nizik's field. Now, so that's the case that's Toman, the fourth category. And therefore, then you're going to be Chayv and Shein V'regel, because that's what Bir Pesteacha. And Uktani Seif, at the end of that fourth halacha says, that Tam, Mishalm Chatzin Nezek, Umud Mishalm Nezek Shalim, that by Tam, you're going to pay half the damages, and by Mud, you're going to pay Nezek Shalim. Well, that's Asun Rabbanan. That goes according to opinion Rabbanan, not like Rib Tarfin. Damri, that they say, Mishun the Karen Mechatzan Nezek, that even by Karen Tam, even if it's in the Chatzan Nezek, Chatzin Nezek Hud Misham, you only pay Chatzin Nezek. Because again, we just explained that the fourth case of Leilazeh B'Leilazeh, I mean, it's not both of theirs, but it's one of theirs, it's the Chatzan Nezek. And still he's saying that by Karen Tam, which is Mishunna, is going to pay only Chatzin Nezek, which is like the Rabbanan. So ask the Gemara, Reish Reb Tarfin, the Savior Rabbanan. You have in the same Bryce, Reb Shimon Elazar, on the one hand, quoting like Reb Tarfin, which that by the Chatzan Nezek, Karen Tam is going to pay Nezek Shalom. And then you have the Seif of the fourth category, which says a case, which is like the Rabbanan, that in the Shusan Nizik, which is how we explain the case of Leilazeh B'Leilazeh, that Karen Tam is going to pay Chatzi Nezik, not Nezik Shalom. So that the Gemara answers in yes. The Ha'omalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, like Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, which is regarding a later on Mishnah, regarding Chamisha Tam, and regarding the five types of Mazikin that they're considered Tam the first few times. He told them, Shinin the sharp one, as many times the Shah Shmuel called Rabbi Yehuda the sharp one, Shavik Masnitin. Let go of the Mishnah. In other words, don't try to explain the Mishnah like one Tana, but rather, Vesah Basroi, come after me, meaning say like me, who I say, Reish Reb Tarfin, the Sefer Rabbanan. That although the beginning is like Reb Tarfin, the end is like Rabbanan, and therefore here, when you have four Kalalas that Reb Shimon says, that one of them is like Reb Tarfin, and one of them is like Rabbanan. And therefore the Gemara says, you're right. That's their machlekes, and they're both being quoted by Reb Shimon ben Elazar regarding his four different categories, and one place saying like Reb Tarfin, one like Rabbanan. Another approach that Gemara brings, Ravina Mishmei de Rav Amma, he says, no, kul Reb Tarfin, you could say that actually the whole brayso of Reb Shimon ben Elazar is like Reb Tarfin, who holds that in the Chatzar Nizik, Karen Tam is Mishalm Nezik Shalom. Now, my loyla zeb loyla zeb, so that how do you understand this case of that it's not both of theirs? Which, again, we're stuck over there, because he's saying that by Shem Regal, you're going to be Chayv. So obviously it can't be just some other person's. So then it's Rosh Hashanah Nizik. If it's Rosh Hashanah Nizik, then why is, like Reb Tarfin, why is Karen Tam Chatzin Nezik? So he explains, Loi Lazeh B'Loi Lazeh L'Pei Reis El Dechad. Meaning, when we say it's not both of theirs, it's not both of theirs, but only one of theirs, regarding Peiris. Meaning, the only one that has right to put Peiris over there is the Nizik. But but both of them have a right to bring in their oxen over there. The agreement they had when they had this field was that we both could have our oxen over here, but the only one that's allowed to have fruits over here is me, is the Nizik. So explains the Gemara, the Legabe Shein Havilo Chatzar HaNizik, regarding the Hezek of Shein, is considered the Chatzar of the Nizik. And therefore, the Mazik is going to be Chayv in the Nizke of Shein. Why? Because regarding Peiris, it only has the rights of the Nizik. It's Ubir Bisteacha. Regarding the halachas of produce, it's the Nizik's property. The Mazik has no rights to have Peiris over here. So though he's allowed to have a Shoyer over here, which is in conscious distinction as we mentioned before, here the way the Gemara is saying it is, but regarding the Peiris, it's only his field. So it's Ubir Bisteacha. But regarding the mazik of Karen, it is Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because he was allowed to bring in his shor over there. So just like Rishus HaRabim, everyone agrees that Karen Tam pays Chatzin Nezik and not more than that. So although regarding Rishus HaNizik, Reb Tarfon says you have to pay Nezik Shalom, but regarding Shvarim, it's not considered. Regarding Karen, which is regarding the shor, it's not considered Chatzin Nezik because he's allowed to bring his shor over there. So that's how the Gemara answers. Ravina says that you could actually say it's all Reb Tarfon, and the last case is considered Chatz HaNizik regarding Chain and Regal. Because regarding Paris, only the Nizik could have it over there, but regarding Karen, it's considered Rishus HaRabim because he's allowed to bring Yeshua over there. That's what it's going to be, only Chatz HaNizik. Now the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, Arba, then this Reb Shimon Laza says that there's four Klalim, the four general categories. Shloi Shahava, essentially he's only saying three general categories because this last cloud, the way we just described it, you know both halachas from the previous three halachas. And that is because since you're telling me regarding Shane that is considered Chatzar Nizik, because he's saying that it's not both of theirs regarding Peiritz, it's only one of theirs, meaning the Niziks, so then why do I need the fourth cloud to tell you're going to be Chayiv on Shane? Already taught in the Reisha, it said in the first case that he described, Kol Shu Rishus LeNizik V'Loi LeMazik, whatever's only the Nizik's domain and not for the Mazik, he's Chayiv Bakol, which includes Shane Beregel. And regarding Shane, regarding Paris, he's saying it's only the Rishus and Nizik. And regarding the second half of the fourth halacha, which says that regarding Karen in the Chatzah HaShutfin, that there's going to be only Chatzin Nizik, that already learned in the Reisha that said regarding the case of Chatzah HaShutfin Vabika, when he said it's Rishus Lezeh Ulezeh, which Rabbi Shimon Laza says that it's like Rishus HaRabim, he said that regarding the Gicha and the Gifa, Tam is Mishalim Chatzin Nizik. So therefore, why do we need to say the fourth klal if essentially they're both the both halachas of the fourth klal already included in the first three halachas? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, you're right, as we continue in Tamid Beis, Shloisha klalis, really there's only three dinim being said over here, three general categories. There's the halacha of Rishus HaNizik, that is going to be a chiv for everything. You have the halacha of Rishus HaMazik, which you're exempt from everything. Then you have a Chatzah HaShutfin, which we said that there's going to be a chiv of Chatzin Nezik by Karen, and a p'tur by Shane Viragel. Because we said regarding Chutz HaShutfin, he considers it like we said for Reb Elazar, like a Rishus HaRabim. Now, but it's ba'arba makaymais. It's in four places. In other words, because regarding this halach of Chutz HaShutfin, the halach is not always going to be the same. And that's what the fourth case is coming to include, to add on, because there is a case of a Chatzah HaShutfin that they share it, that there is going to be a liability of a Shem Regal. How so? Isn't Chatzah HaShutfin like Rishus HaRabim, it's not a Vir Viste Acher? Well, depends. Since it's designated for only one of them to have their Peiris over there, albeit that both of them allowed to bring their Shvarim over there, and again, that's what we said regarding Karen, that is like Rishus HaRabim, but regarding Shane, it's considered like Rishus HaNizik, there the halach is going to be, although it's a Chatzah HaShutfin, that there's going to be a liability of a Shem Regal. That's why he says it as a fourth cloud, because that case of Chatzah HaShutfin is different than the Chatzah HaShutfin that he said in the third case. Because in the third case, the way he said it, was that it was for both of them, for both. So therefore, that's considered like Rishus HaRab. But the fourth case is telling you a case of Rishus HaMichedis L'Shnehem, a Chatzah HaShutfin, that you're going to be chayav because it's only for both of them with Shvarim, but regarding Shane, regarding the Peiris, it's only the Rishus HaNizik, and therefore to tell you that element of Chatzah HaShutfin that you could have a case of chayav, that's why he said a fourth place, but you're right, it's really only three halachas, which is the halacha of whichever one it is. We said they could depend what they are shared for, but whatever they're shared for, whether it be for only Shane or only Shar, meaning Peiris and Shvarim, or both of them, the halach is always going to be that when they shear it, again, the coin trip Shem Elazar, the way we described Reb Elazar, is that it's considered Rishus HaRabim. So then you have whatever halach, like we said, Reb Tarfon is a difference with Karen between Rishus HaNizik and the Rishus HaRabim, because in the Rishus HaNizik is Nezik Shalom, Rishus HaRabim is Chatzin Nezik, so too, Vashem V'Regel, and Rishus HaRabim Yipater, and Rishus HaNizik is going to be Chayiv. So again, but we said there could be different halachas depending on what it is they're sheared for, and therefore we said a fourth place. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this halachas of nizakin, of paying for damages. So the Mishnah, in a very enigmatic way, which the Gemara is going to explain the whole entire Mishnah, says the following halachas. Says that the payment should be through a shum kesef, through an evaluation of money, with something that's shava kesef, that's worth money, bifnei bezin, in front of the court, v'al pi edim, through the testimony of witnesses, that are B'nai Chayrin, that are free men, B'nai Bris, men of the covenant. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Moreover, says the Mishnah about Nashim Mechal HaNazik, women are included in halachas of damages. And finally, V'anizik V'amazik B'tashlumen, the damaged party and the damaging party both play a role in the payment of the damages. That's the Mishnah. Now the Gemara explains, my Shum Kesef, what is the opening words of the Mishnah that says that the evaluation of money? Some of you, they explain. He says, Shum Zeh, this evaluation of damages, Lo Yehei Ela B'Kesef, should only be through money. In other words, the courts evaluate how much was the damage worth, whether it's a mana or 200, and that's how much the Mazik pays. Now, what is that coming to say? Says the Gemara, Tanina, we learned in our Mishnah, Lahadut Tan Rabbanan, that supports this that we learned in the Braisa, which tells us that that Braisa is primary and that it's correct, just like we're learning in our Mishnah. The Braisa says as follows, Parasha Hazika Talis, regarding a cow that damages a talis, a cloak, which means to say, let's say, it steps on it in the Chatzar HaNizik. Because as we said, Shein HaRegel is only Chayiv in Rishus HaNizik. So therefore, let's say the cow tramples on someone else's talis in that person's property. Or let's say a talis shazika para, or let's say a cloak that actually damages a cow. How so? Let's say in the Rishus HaRabim, for example, let's say the animal gets stuck and hurts itself on the talis, and if it breaks the cow's leg, says the Braisa, Ein Oimrim, we don't say, Teitze para betalis, that let the Nizik take the cow that ruined his talis, and that we don't evaluate whether it's worth more or worth less. It doesn't make a difference. Your cow damaged my talis. Now my talis is gone. I'm taking your cow in exchange for that damage. We don't say that. And neither do we say betalis bepara, that if let's say the talis ruined the para, now the cow got ruined, so he says, okay, I'm going to take my talis, your talis, in exchange for the damage that was done to my para. We don't say that. Rather, we evaluated with money. In other words, the words of the Mishnah of Shum Kesef, which is that we evaluated in monetary terms how much the damages was, and whatever the damages is, that's what he pays. But you don't say, oh, this damaged my thing, I take the thing that damaged it. That's not what we say. Rather, Shum is Kesef. We evaluated in monetary terms. The next words in the Mishnah were Shava Kesef. In other words, something that's worth money is what the Mazik has to pay up to the Nizik. So the Gemara explains it, turn up on like we learned the Braisa. Shava Kesef, and it says in the Mishnah the words, something that's worth money. Malamed, this comes to teach us, She'ein Bezdin is Kaken, that the court does not attend to collect from the Mazik, Elan Nechasim She'esh Len Machrayis, only from properties that have liabilities, in other words, only from land. Which that's what the words Shava Kesef of the Mishnah mean, which the Gemara later on is going to explain. Where do you see from the word Shava Kesef, which usually means to say anything that's worth money, which is any movable item? How do you see from the words of the Mishnah that that means Karka? But that's what the Braisa says, that it's only you can only collect from the Mazik from Karka, from land. Avol, says the Braisa, but Im Kadim Nizik with Tavas Metatlin, but if the Nizik goes and he grabs a movable item for the collection of the damage that was done to him, then Bezdin Gomer Lemehen, then once he already grabbed it, the courts will allow him to collect for the damages from the movable item that he grabbed from the Mazik. Now the Gemara explains this Braisa. Amamar. Tana the Braisa said that Shava Kesef, when the Mishnah says that the collection of Hezek, of Nizakin, of damages, is from Shava Kesef, says the Braisa, what does that mean? Malamachin Bezdin is Kokin El Nachasim Cheshel Nachayis, it means that the courts will only collect for the damages from properties that have liability, which is always a term used for karka, for land, because that's something that you could always, it's always there, it's always an insurance, because it doesn't get lost, the land will always be there. So the Gemara asks, my mashma, where do you see from the words shava kesef that that refers to land? So Amar Rabba Bar Uli says, because the word shava kesef means dava hashava kol kesef, something that's worth all the money that you would use to spend to buy that land. So the Gemara asks, my niu. What is that? Meaning, where do you see from the words kol kesef that it's worth all the money that you would spend to buy the land? Because it means davar she'ein lo yano. It means that it's land is something that there's no price fraud in the purchasing of the land. In other words, even if you purchase it more than what's called a shtus, which is a sixth more than how much the price of it really, the value is. So although regarding other items, there is halacha bayna, and you would have to return that either the difference, if it's that shtus or more than shtus, you have to, the whole sale is void. But by land, the seller doesn't have to return that extra amount of money that he charged him. As Gemara says above Metzia, Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, that regarding Avodim, Shtoreth, and Karkais, there's no Eino. Even if he purchases it way over the value, the price of how much the land is worth. How much it's worth. So, therefore, you see from the word Shavah Kesef, that it's worth all money that you spend in it. That's how you see that the collection is only from Karka. Now, that the Gemara asks, but Avodim, Shtoreth, but slaves and documents, for example, let's say if someone sells a document to his friend, Nami ain lehenoino, there also is no halacha vaino over there. In other words, the consumer cannot claim that you overcharged me by a sixth. There's no halacha, just like by karka. So the question is, so then why would we be saying in the explanation of our Mishnah, as the Brisa says, that you could only collect from damages from karka, if you should also be able to then collect from avadim and from shtaris, which also have this halacha of that it's shava kol kesa, that there's no ino. So Elam Omar Rabba Ba'ula, rather he explains, how do we know that it's karka? Because davar ha-nikne be-kesef, it means something that's purchased with kesef. When it says shava kesef, that you can acquire it with money. In other words, without meshicha, without drawing it as you have to do, as you do by metatlin, because karka is acquired with money, as the Gemara says in the first parak of Masechta Kedushin, davar chavav med aleph, in contrast to metatlin. Now that the Gemara asks, but avod meshtaris nami nikne be-kesef. Slaves and documents are also purchased with money. Eved we know is purchased with money, as the Gemara says in Masechta Kedushin of Chabez Mabez. And Shtaris, Rashi says he doesn't know where it's brought, that it's acquired with money, but that's what the Gemara is saying over there, that they're both also acquired with money. So therefore, why can't you collect from the Zak and then also from Avadim and Shtaris, if they're also something that's purchased with Kesef? So Elam or Ravashi, rather Ravashi explains, Shava Kesef. That when it says that it's Shava Kesef, it means something that's actually worth money, meaning, how do we know that's land? Because the understanding of this of these words are that it's something that's worth money that you collect for damages. But v'loy kesef, but not money itself. Now, v'hani kule, all these other items, whether regular metatlin or even avad mishtaris, kesef ninu, they themselves are money. Why is that? Because you could bring them to wherever you want to and sell them. They're not just worth money, they are money. That's the way how bartering works. You give me this, I'll give you that. You can be able to get stuff for it. Karka is something that's only worth money, but it's not money. You can't use it as a way of buying power. It's something that's land, and that's why it's called Shavah Kesef. And that's how you see, as the Braisa explains for the halacha of the Mishnah, that Nizak can only collect from Karka. Now, it's regarding this halacha that the Gemara asks, Ramele Rabbi Huda Bar Chinna, Rav Huna Beredi Rishua. Tanu Lut Nabrai says, we quoted this in the beginning of the Masechta, Shavah Kesef, that regarding this halacha, the Braisa is saying, Shavah Kesef. So we said, Malame She'in Bez Niskokim El Nechosim Yishesh L'machai. So we just quoted an explanation of the halacha of our Mishnah. That's something that's worth money. What does that mean? That the courts will only collect for damages from something that's from something that's land, but nothing else. Not Vatani, but in the Braisa, it says Yashiv. It says in the pasuk regarding when someone's thing gets ruined in another person's pit, it says that Kesev Yashiv Levalov, that he has to return the money to the owner. So we had explained this, that it means L'Rabbe Shavah Kesef, that it means to include anything that's even worth money. L'Rabbe is Kola Shavuin, everything that you're returning. Vafil L'Subin, and even Bran. So you see that even Metatlin, even the lowest grade type of movable items, you also collect for damages, that he can pay up the damages with whatever. So how are we saying in this Bryce, an explanation of our Mishnah, that the only thing that you collect from the Mazik is land? So the Gemara explains, what are we talking about over here in this Bryce, meaning an explanation of our Mishnah? Is biyasmi, is by orphans. That's where we said that if the father who is the Mazik left over land, then you could collect from the orphans for the damages, only from Karka. But metatlin you cannot, because the halacha always is metatlin the yasmi, the movable items of orphans, aloy mishtabdi blachayv, are not indebted to the creditors. As Rashi gives a reasoning for this, is because you could say that they actually purchased it after their father had died, so you never really know if it was their father's or their own, whereas karka we know, so therefore you could never collect from metatlin. That's what the halacha of the Mishnah is going on when it says you only collect for Shavah Kesef. It's talking about we're regarding orphans. That's what you could collect from Nizakin, from the sons of the Mazik who died. Now, that the Gemara asks, Ibi asked me, if the halacha of our Braisa in explaining our Mishnah is talking about by orphans, Eime Seifa, look at the end. The Braisa then says, but im kodim nizik, but tov es matatlin, although you could only collect from Karka, but if the nizik, if the damaged party goes and grabs movable items, then Bezdin Gavin Lemahan. So then the courts will allow him to collect his damages from that. Now, Ibi Yasmin, but if it's talking about orphans, am I best in government mehen? Why do the courts allow to collect that? No, by orphans you cannot. You would have to give it back. Why do we say then you could hold on to it if it's talking about by orphans? So I think my answer is could Amar Rava Amar Rav Nachman. Like Rava says, name of Rav Nachman, Mesech Tzuksubis and Perka Kesev, Shetafis Michaim, where it's talking about over there that he grabbed it from them, from the person that owes him the money when he was still alive. So here also explains the Gemara, it's talking about when the Nizik had grabbed it away from the Mazik when he was still alive. So although the court yet didn't decide on it that he owed him the money, but since from the Mazik himself, he's allowed to collect not just Karka, but even Metatlin, as we say that the Mazik could pay him up any Metatlin, even Subin. So now, although that he died, and now the court has proceedings, and they say that he's guilty to pay, and now, yes, he would only be able to collect from Karka because it's only Yisaimim, but since he grabbed the Metatlin from the Mazik when he was still alive, and at that point he was able to collect from Metatlin, that's when the court say you could hold on to it and you continue to keep it because he had already taken it from the Mazik when he was still alive. And therefore, though, let's say by Yisaimim, you could only collect from Karka, but since he already took it beforehand, then he can maintain it. Now, the next words in the Mishnah were, that so we said that shum kesef, the valuation is through money, which is you don't take just what damaged you in the payment, but you evaluate how much was the money, the damages, that's how much paid up. And we said that's done through shuba kesef, as we explained the halacha of Mishnah by Yisayimim, could only collect from karka. Then the words of the Mishnah are bifnei bezdin, in front of the courts. So the Mishnah sounds like it's saying shuba kesef bifnei bezdin. So we just explained that shuba kesef means karka. That it sounds like that the land of the mazik has to be in front of the courts. What does that mean? Explains the Gemara, prat l'meichin nechasev, that's coming to exclude if somebody, the mazik, sold off all his properties and he liquidated all his money, and then he goes to court regarding this case of the damages that his animal had done to someone else. Where what it's telling us is that the courts are not going to collect from the lekuchas who had purchased his lands after it had done the hezek. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like that shavah kesef bifnei bezdin. The courts have to be there. The land has to be there in front of court. But if let's say the lands are not here anymore because he sold it, then the courts are not going to collect from that. So that asks the Gemara, Shema Minos, you could infer from this that lava, that if someone borrows money, and after he borrows monies, umachan achasib, and then he sells off his properties. V'achach bo lebezdin, then he comes to court because the guy's saying, hey, I lent you money. So then you're trying to tell me ain bezdin gomer lemehen, that the courts would not collect from the lekuchas? But that's a halacha we mentioned many times in Shas, that the lender could collect from the nechasim mishabadim, which was owed to him at the time of the loan, which were then later sold off. So how do you understand this halacha of the Mishnah, which sounds like that if there was a debt that was incurred either through a loan, as the Gemara is comparing it to, or through damages that the Rishus of the Mazik owes him now, and then he later sells it off, that then he can't collect? Of course he could collect from the Chasim Mishabadim, which are owed to him and indebted to him, even though he sold it off. So Elarav, the Gemara explains, and the Mishnah is teaching a different halacha. It's coming to say that when it says that it has to be Bifnei Bezdin, it means to say, and it's alluding to a different halacha, although it's not actually what the Mishnah itself is talking about, but it's coming to say that only a court of mumchen, of people that are proficient in Jewish law, could judge the halachas of knasas, of penalties. Meaning it's prat lebezen hadyaitis. It's coming to exclude by a court of commoners, of three regular people, although they could serve certain functions. When it comes to halachas of knasas, of penalties, where there are certain halachas of mazikin that do go into the category of knas, where it's something that's, let's say, shleishim shalev, there are certain things which are not exactly what you damage. It's not halacha of monetary law, but they're penalties. It's regarding such laws that the Mishnah is alluding to by saying, b'fnei bezdin, that only a court of mumchen, of professionals, could adjudicate such a case, but a court of hedyotim would not be able to judge such a case of knosis. Similarly, the Gemara makes a similar elucidation of the next words of the Mishnah that says, api edim, that it has to be verified through witnesses, that they have to testify regarding the damages in the court that this guy damaged that other person. So, says the Gemara, what that's coming to allude to is that prat lemoid beknas ve'achkech bo'edim. It's coming to exclude, if again, although our mission is not, as Tais explains, although our mission is not directly talking about knas, but it's alluding to that by saying these words over here, that if somebody admits to having violated something that which would mandate that he pays a halachic penalty, so if he admits his guilt, and then afterwards witnesses come to verify that he had done that thing, Shuvapatra, that is going to be exempt. So that's what the Mishnah is alluding to by saying that it's through witnesses, it's only if witnesses come first, that then he'll be chayiv. But if he admitted his guilt first and then witnesses come, then he's going to be exempt. So the Gemara asks, Hanich Lamanda Amad, this is very well according to the pin that says, which this is a machlekes later on, Perek Merubadaf Ayin Hey Madaf, which talks about this halacha, but Maid Beknas, that's good according to the one who says, Maid Beknas V'ach Kebo Eidem Pater, that if you admit your guilt regarding something that is a halachic penalty, and then witnesses come that you're going to be exempt, so that's what the Mishnah would be alluding to by saying it's only Al Pi Eidem. But if it's through yourself and then Eidem come, then you're exempt. But according to the one who holds, that although made the moed b'knas, you're potter, but if later on witnesses come, you are going to be chayiv. So what are you going to say? What's the Mishnah then coming to say? That it's only the liability is through Al-Pi Eidim, where it's not true. Even if you do it through yourself, and then Eidim come, you're still going to be chayiv. So then what are the words of the Mishnah coming to exclude in its halacha? As the Gemara says, you're right, sefer etzuchalei. According to that opinion, it's not for that words, but it's actually for the qualification of the next words of the Mishnah, which qualify what type of Eidim. Whereas the Gemara continues on top of the Tesvav of Manalef, where the next words of the Mishnah are, what type of witnesses are valid to testify in court regarding the liability of damages from one person to another, are b'nei chayin u'b'nei vris, that the witnesses have to be free men and men of the covenant, which the Gemara explains. And what's it coming to exclude? B'nei chayin, free men, is l'muti avadim, is coming to exclude slaves. And that's regarding non-Jewish slaves. And B'nai Vris, and men of the covenant, is L'muti of the Kachavim, is coming to exclude non-Jews. And the Gemara explains, it's Rechim, we have to say by both of them that they're not valid witnesses. Because the Yashmin and Abed, had we said the halacha that a slave is not a valid witness? B'shem de'in le'yachas. Because he has no lineage. As the Gemara says, Masech Zivam, Mestav, Samach, Bezim, et Alef. Everyone agrees by a slave that he has no connection to his parents. There's no ancestry, no lineage, as the Gemara, as the Pasuk says by Avraham Avinu and Eliezer, says, wait here, im hachamar, with the donkey, which the Gemara expounds, it means, am hadoim lachamar, a people that's compared to a donkey, like you don't say, this is the father of the donkey, it doesn't have any lineage, so too, a slave, which is who Eliezer was from, which is from the Canaanim, who were considered slaves, have no yachas, so therefore, they're not valid to say testimony. Avanachur, the yesh lo yachas, but a non-Jew, who has lineage, as the Gemara there in Yevamos explains, like it says, Hadriman ben Tiverim and Chazal, we see that there's a lineage of connecting the child to his father, to his grandfather, it goes back, so you see that there is Yachas Emeloi. I would say that maybe actually he's not possible, and he would be kosher to say Edis. That's why we have to exclude also a non-Jew. And so through the other way, Biashmin and Nachri, had we only said that a non-Jew is not valid to say testimony, I would say Mishum de Leshaych ben Mitzvahs, because he has nothing to do with all the mitzvahs that Jews have besides the Sheva Mitzvah ben Einayah. But by a slave that does many of the mitzvahs of the Torah, because actually Eved Kenani, who is a non-Jew, who is taken to, as a slave by a Jew, who actually has to keep all the mitzvahs that a woman has to keep, because we learn that from Gzer Shavah, where it says the word law by the Shivcha Kenanis and law by the Isha, Emeloi, I would say that actually that it wouldn't be possible for Edis, and it would be kosher to say Edis for the Halachas of Nizakin. That's why it's really that we have to say both of them. So again, according to that opinion, of Maid B'Knas V'Achkach Bo Eidim, although the term Al-Pi Eidim is not coming to exclude anything, but it's because then we wanted to qualify Al-Pi Eidim, what type of Eidim, Abnei Chayim, Bnei Bris, and that's coming to tell us halachas to exclude that it can't be, the word Bnei Chayim is that it can't be an Eved, and Bnei Bris is that it cannot be an Oivik Chavim, it can't be a non-Jew to say testimony in the court to make a liability for the halachas of damages.